The second reading this morning comes from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I read for you 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with the second verse. That's not what it says in your bulletin, but as I have taught you for about 8 years, I get to choose. So we're reading 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 2. Listen now for God's word for you this day. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. My guess is that as you heard the scripture and read the title of the sermon, you thought I was going to stand up here and tell you how wonderful you are. That I was prepared to tell you that because you are the recipients of grace, God's grace, and because both the writer, Paul, and I were wishing you peace, that you'd leave here feeling all warm and fuzzy and full of love. Yeah, fasten your seatbelts. The Corinthian congregation to whom Paul was writing was fairly large compared to other congregations that he visited. That was due in part to the fact that Corinth was a fairly large city for its time. Because of its proximity to waterways, Corinth was a commercial hub and a trade city. It was a seaport. So merchants came from all over the known world to ship and to receive merchandise, much of which was sold right there. Visitors were everywhere, because they came for the merchandise or they worked on the boats that loaded and unloaded there. And because they were visitors, there was visitor commerce, businesses that catered to tourists. There were bars and inns to feed tourists and to house them overnight. There were minstrels and clowns to entertain them. There were prostitutes paid by the sailors on the ships that docked there. And there were religious leaders always trying to corral people and encourage them to straighten up and fly right. Well, not fly, because nobody in the first century flew. Anyway, it was a bustling city, a city full of good people and not so good people, full of working people and travelers, full of prosperous people and blue-collar workers, full of those who lived there and those who were just passing through, those with money to spend, and those with time to steal from those who had the money to spend. Paul had gathered some of the people together, the Gentiles, who'd heard this information about this Jesus guy, because one of the exchanges that often happened in Corinth was the news that came and went from all over the known world. Some had heard about Jesus, his life, his resurrection, and they were hungry for more information. Paul rounded them up and gave them that. And because Paul was a missionary, because he traveled, he sent back letters in an attempt to continue to teach the church about this new way while he was gone. And here's one thing that was truly different about this new way. See, Jewish people who had studied Judaism and tried to live by its laws, Jewish people were clear about their ancestry. It was their ancestry that made them Jewish. They could list their ancestors back several generations, Some could quote their ancestry all the way back to Abraham. Remember that in the gospel writers, the first gospels, they trace Jesus' ancestry to give him validity. That's what Paul did, too. When introducing himself, he often spoke about his lineage. His lineage gave him the authority to speak publicly. His training, he was a lawyer, meaning he'd been trained in the law of Moses. His training allowed him to speak well when he spoke publicly. And in the cities, in and around Germany, prior to the beginning of World War II, the people who were forced to wear a yellow star on their clothing were defined as Jewish based on whether or not their mother was Jewish. But it was in this new religion that was based on Jesus, this new church, not individuals exactly, but the people, all the people together, the people of God, the church was now being defined not by its Jewish ancestry, but by its discipleship. Centuries later, St. Augustine wrote that the city of God is moved by the love of God and neighbor, while the human city is moved by self-interest. See, here's something that Americans don't always comprehend. Americans believe that it's all about me. We think that our Christianity is about our individual salvation, our individual calling, our individual discipleship. Paul was saying here that God's call to us is to be a people, plural, an alternative society which reveals a new way of being and living together. If you look back at the letters that Paul wrote, he wrote to the churches, plural, groups of people about how to act in a new society. People functioning together as the people of God. Oh, sure, sometimes the letters looked like they were written to individuals, like the letter to Timothy or the letter to Titus, but even there, Paul was writing about leadership, about how Timothy was to behave as an elder in the church, and how the people were expected to respond to Timothy's leadership. How Titus was left behind to work following Paul's training to keep the churches functioning. Even the letter to Philemon was written by Paul to tell Philemon about how to be in relationship with Paul's new friend, Onesimus. So Paul's message was always to the people. Paul's letters were written to tell the people how to be disciples collectively. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Paul was addressing a community of people who were deeply committed to the cause of the gospel and actively shared in defending and confirming that gospel. Paul expressed his confidence because he was certain that the church in this very diverse city of Corinth would continue along the road that he had taught them to travel together. And as they did so, God would surely work powerfully in their lives to change and transform them both individually and corporately. And why is that important? Because that's how I'm addressing you today. As individual disciples living in a diverse community of faith, as the people of God, Bishop Desmond Tutu once said that a person is a person only through other persons. The other is a gift to us. I am who I am today, in great part because of all of you. All of you. You, all of you together, have, hopefully, become more than you used to be because I have been among you. Gathered together as the church, the community of faith, lacks nothing that is needed as the people wait for God. The Corinthians are what they have received, and they received much. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that many of you are worried today. You have been worried for the last 60 days when I told you that I wouldn't be here any longer. I know that. You're not supposed to worry. I know that too. And you know it. But here's why. Because, my friends, it's not about you. And it's not about me. The church, the First Presbyterian Church of Henderson, is full of saints. The saints of God. But it's still not even about that. This church is rich in blessings, not because of the accomplishments of the people within this fellowship, but because of the grace of God that has enriched and sustained this people of God. And you will not lose that. That will not be diminished. That will always be yours. God's grace, grace for the church of God's people, will always be yours. Paul says, God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today we would say, God will never give up on you. Don't forget that. God will never give up on you. Never forget that. What does it mean to give thanks for the grace of the crucified one among the people? At least part of what it means is that God's power in this particular place is manifest in ways beyond the ways that people like to think best about themselves. Perhaps people who worry, perhaps even people who consider themselves weak. God's purpose in our lives cannot be denied, derailed, or delayed, not by anyone or anything, including our own resistance. God will win. God always does. The mighty and loving sovereign has a purpose for your life and for mine. Jehovah has a purpose for this church and for a church in Alabama. God's work will continue. God's people will do it. All of it. You and I have learned much together over the last 8 years. We have grown in God's purpose. We have become better than we were. Growth and greater closeness to God is always Yahweh's intention. And God has made it so. Now, God is writing a new chapter. This is not over. This will never be over. It's simply a new chapter. Sometimes with different characters, sometimes with different locations, sometimes with different dialogue or different verbs or different stories, but it's still God's story. It's God's story written about you. And it's still being written. It's filled with hope because God is full of hope. It's filled with depth because God is full of depth. It's full of grace and it's full of peace because God is writing the story. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will also strengthen you to the end. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.